It's the Congressional Corner with one of my favorite people in all of politics, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat. Chris Murphy, you were with us all the years as a congressman, and now you've continued to come back as a senator, and we so appreciate it because we know how busy you are. I cannot turn on the cable channels without seeing your face opining on something of great importance. Is it different being in the Senate than the House?
It's very different. Obviously the numbers mean that you have a lot greater impact, one of 100 versus one of 435. Obviously you're representing the whole state, which is wonderful, but you need to then get around and see everybody rather than just those in 41 towns, as was the case in my congressional district in northwestern Connecticut. It's been a really wonderful experience. I mean, the idea that I get to represent the state of Connecticut, where I grew up, where my parents grew up, where my grandparents grew up, and that I get to be, more impactful as a senator than I was, honestly, as a House member on issues like foreign policy and health care and gun violence. It certainly gives you a reason to get up every day and run into work. So I love this job, and certainly don't regret the decision to move from the House to the Senate.
Are you treated with more respect in the Senate than you were in the House?
I think everybody, who's elected to Congress gets treated with respect. It certainly is easier to get things done in the Senate because you've got to keep, 51 people in the Senate happy at any one given time. And so when you ask for something, you're a little bit more likely to, have them say yes. When I was thinking about running, I came over and met with a couple senators that I knew. I remember one meeting with Mark Udall, who at the time was a senator from Colorado. And I asked him, he had made the transition from the House to the Senate, whether he thought it was worthwhile. And he said, yeah. He said, listen, one of the things that happens in the Senate is different in the House is that almost anybody will come and talk to you about an issue to educate you. I mean, you can find the smartest person on North Korea or banking regulations or climate change, and they're very eager to come talk to a United States senator, sometimes a little bit harder to get them to come into a House member's office. And, that is one of the neat parts of this job is, I feel like I have the best staff of tutors in the world, because if I want to learn about how to rebuild the, Northeastern Rail Corridor, I can have the smartest people on the phone, telling me how to do it. And so I take up that opportunity to become smarter with really good people to educate me regularly.
Senator Chris Murphy, I guess the question now is, and I get asked this an awful lot, what are the chances of the Senate going Democratic in the off-term elections?
I think they're good. The map is very favorable to Republicans in the Senate. Of course, only one-third of senators are up for election at any one given year, and just by quirk of electoral calendar this year, almost none of the incumbent Republicans are up for re-election. Almost half of the Democratic caucus is up for re-election. So there aren't a lot of seats that Democrats can win. Arizona, Nevada, Tennessee, Texas, those are the best seats to potentially flip to Democratic control, and those aren't traditionally Democratic states. And at the same time, there's a lot of Democratic senators in very Republican states like Montana and North Dakota and Missouri that are up for re-election themselves. So, I would say the chances are maybe 50-50. I think you could very easily get a 50-50 Senate as well. Chances, from what I understand, I don't follow the House map as closely, but I've been told that the chances are much better that the House will flip control in 2018.
Indeed. And so I guess the next question I want to ask you is about something you've been talking about a lot, which a lot of our listeners are very concerned about, and that is the state of affairs in Yemen. I wonder if you could give us a little tutorial.
Yeah, I wish more people were talking about this. I wish more people in Washington were talking about it. This is the world's worst humanitarian catastrophe right now in this small Middle Eastern country. 10,000 plus civilians have been killed by bombs being dropped on them by a Saudi led coalition that the United States is a part of. Those bombs at some point about a year ago hit water treatment facilities in inside Yemen, setting off the worst cholera outbreak in modern recorded history. Over a million people in Yemen right now have cholera, and so the country is on the brink of famine and starvation. And you know why this matters to us is that the bombing campaign that's being conducted there is being run by the United States and the Saudis. A group of rebels, a tribe called the Houthis, overran the Yemeni government several years ago. The Yemeni government was supported by the Saudis, and so the Saudis have been waging war on the Houthis, trying to kick them out of the capital, Sana'a. The United States, because we're allies of the Saudis, have helped them do that, but the Saudis have engaged in a really reckless campaign in which they've bombed civilian targets, churches, schools, neighborhoods. Lots and lots of people have been killed. And so I've been calling for years for the United States to stop assisting the Saudis in killing all of these civilians inside Yemen. We took a vote on a resolution to pull us out of the coalition this week. We lost that vote, but it was close. We lost it 55-44. And we're going to keep pressing because the United States should not be part of a military engagement that ends in the slaughter of civilians like is happening in Yemen today.
So are we bought and paid for by the Saudis?
I mean, listen, we are far too unconditional in our support of the Saudis. I've given a number of major speeches on this subject. I think that we do not understand how the Saudis' effort to spread a very conservative, intolerant brand of Islam throughout the world is actually feeding the recruitment efforts of terrorist organizations. And so, you know, we look at the Middle East very simply, administration after administration, say the Saudis are our friends and the Iranians are our enemies. It's not that simple. The Saudis have done just as much harm to U.S. national security as they have done good. Remember, those terrorists that hit us on September 11th were largely from Saudi Arabia. So I think we should have a more dramatic reorientation of our alliances in the region, and I think we should be far less aligned with the Saudis.
Some people think it's personal with Trump that he has deals going with them.
Well, I mean, a lot of this has been personal. You know, we had deep economic ties with the Saudis. The Bush family, obviously very deeply involved in the oil industry, had been aligned with the Saudis for a very long time. You know, it has been an open secret that Trump was, you know, looking very closely at deals in Saudi Arabia, and speculation that there is Saudi money in his family and in the Kushner family. And so that might describe why we have been so why we have doubled down in the last year and a half on our alliance with the Saudis and given them permission effectively to wage this war inside Yemen that is making, you know, America less safe, in part because what's happening inside Yemen, Yemen holds the most lethal arm of al-Qaeda, the arm of al-Qaeda called AQAP that has the clearest designs to attack America again. AQAP has gotten stronger inside Yemen during this civil war because the Saudis aren't hitting AQAP. They're hitting the Houthis. And so AQAP just takes the territory that the Houthis give up and gets bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger.
Mm. Well, Chris Murphy, I have so many things we're going to talk to you about in the next couple of days, and I so appreciate your being with us. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who I think, you know, is on everybody's lips as a possible presidential contender. But we'll talk about that, too. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.